It's been quite a week. Fortunate enough to have our weekly guest. You know him from his time here in Eugene at the Register Guard, now getting it done for USA Today online, usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, how are you, sir?
Hey, things are good. How are you?
All right, there he is. All right, I think I'd be remiss if we didn't start with Willie Taggart. Calling Florida State his dream job, came open under unique circumstances. So from what you've heard or read, first of all, I find it, I don't know about odd, because nothing surprises me anymore. Jimbo Fisher leaving Texas A&M, Florida State for Texas A&M. From what you've heard, what you've read, who you've spoken to, that doesn't even seem like a lateral move to me. Are you at all surprised that Fisher would leave Tallahassee?
Well, listen, yes and no. I mean, for the last 2 years, LSU worked hard to pry him out of Tallahassee, and he considered it in both of the last 2 years, but didn't go. So some of the same issues that he, and I'm not saying they're real issues, but that he thought were issues, at Florida State remained, and at a certain point you grow more and more dissatisfied. Then you get somebody that wants to pay you $75 million over 10 years, guaranteed, supposedly. And they've got, and listen, here's the thing. The thing about Texas A&M, it's not as good a job as Florida State. It's in a tougher division. It doesn't have the history of Florida State. I don't know what the, you know, I don't know what the ceiling is. They think it's really high, and they've got every bell and whistle a football coach could want. And if he thinks of some they don't have, believe me, all he's going to have to do is say, hey, I'd like to have this, and it'll be delivered to his doorstep the next day. He won't have to pull teeth, which is what he thought he was having to do at Florida State. So, again, I'm not saying he was right that Florida State wasn't invested in football. I'm saying he watched Clemson build a power and build all sorts of buildings and facilities, and he thought to himself, why in the world is it so hard to get this thing done and that thing done at Florida State? And then A&M offered him the world, and so he took it.
Yeah, that makes sense. 75 million reasons. Now here, over the last day, we've had players like Troy Dye saying that Taggart lied to his dad. We know how fans react. We know how coaches seeking greener pastures might say one thing, do another. But, you know, yeah. He was here for a year. 3 days ago, asked, why would I not be the coach next year here? Could we file this under typical coach speak, or does this maybe smell a little differently?
Well, listen, nobody's going to be happy when the guy leaves, especially when he leaves after a year, and under the circumstances that they leave. The way these coaching searches play out is, you know, I think these guys feel like they can't really say much, and if they do have to say something, they don't feel like they can be honest during the process, and I'm sure he would tell you that right up until the time he chose to leave, he was thinking he was going to stay. Now, I'm not saying that's correct. I'm just saying that's just how this goes. I don't think there's a real good way for these guys to do it. I'm not saying Willie handled it the right way, but I think it's hard to figure out sometimes what the right way to do it is. It's a tough situation. It does sound like, just based on the stuff that you hear out of Eugene now, that maybe he wasn't being as forthright as he could have been. That's pretty clear. But I don't know that makes him unique. And again, I'm not saying that to excuse him. I'm just saying I think we could go look around other places where guys jump for other jobs and they act kind of the same way.
We're talking with George Schroeder of USA Today. So a year ago, of course, the Oregon brass made this decision to not only dismiss Mark Helfrich and a staff that were, you know, almost career ducks. So while I get this one and done with Taggart is extreme, is there any logic to, once they decided to go outside the program for the first time in almost 40 years, that they had to figure this moment where the door would be more revolving was going to come?
Yeah, but not like this. I don't think anybody expected it to be a year deal. And look, this is a special deal. I mean, first of all, Oregon is a job you don't just leap to another job from, right?
Right.
Florida State is one of the best jobs in college football. Is it that much better than Oregon? I guess that depends on who you're talking with, right? But the special case here is that Willie Taggart's a Florida guy, and that particular job opened up this year. I mean, who would have thought that both the Florida and the Florida State jobs would open the same year?
Right.
You know, you just don't expect that to happen. Those are not those kind of jobs where that happens. When it did happen, then it basically ended up creating an opportunity that I'm sure he didn't think he would have. So, but yes, generally speaking, Oregon has been so fortunate to have had only internal coaching hires, basically, forever, and they're just not used to this. let me say this. It's not about to become a revolving door job. If they go get a good coach and make a good search results in a good hire, and then they win games, the only way this becomes a revolving door job is if they make bad hires and the guys don't win games. This is not a deal where successful coaches are going to be going to other places all the time, because there aren't that many places that are better than Oregon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, Willie Taggart is the coach at Florida State. They were top five preseason, had injuries, still a lot of talent. So while nothing is a lock and it'll be just his second season as a Power 5 coach, how do you like, I guess, the landscape he's walking into at FSU, you know, how he recruits that state and maybe his prospects for high-level success there?
Well, listen, I think he's a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. I mean, there's, you know, as you said, it'll be his second season at a Power 5. He did a nice job building South Florida. But, you know, you're always sort of betting on risers a lot of times with these coaches, and that's what he is, and you just don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, we're not sure how it was going to work out at Oregon, you know, over the long haul with Willie Taggart. We don't know. But he walks into a situation where they have a lot of talent at Florida State. They've had, obviously, a down year, a really bad down year for their program. The quarterback will be back healthy. DeAndre Francois is not a great quarterback, but he's a serviceable quarterback. And you're right, he's clearly really good at recruiting Florida, and they're all in his backyard.
I want to get to some other news. Today, Pitt announced Pat Narduzzi, 7-year extension and a raise. He replaced Paul Christ after 2014. He won eight games, and then this year, five, even with the upset of Miami. So, George, beyond the specifics, are we in the wrong business?
Well, yeah, but nobody would want to pay us that as coaches, so we're probably in the right business then for that reason. But yeah, no, the coaching business, if you can reach that level, has become super lucrative. There's no question about that. And Oregon's about to pay somebody a ton of money, probably more than they were paying Willie Taggart. I mean, it's just the nature of the business. What's interesting to me is, you know, it was just a year ago that $5 million made all our eyebrows just, you know, rise tremendously, and there were only three or four guys at that level or slightly above. And now you've got two or three guys at six. You've got some guys at seven. I mean, you know, Gus Malzahn just went to seven, but stay at Auburn rather than going to Arkansas. And, you know, that's before you talk about Harbaugh and Saban. You're not. And by the way, Harbaugh shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath as Saban in terms of accomplishment at this point, but obviously in terms of money, he's there. But we're not even getting excited when somebody's getting $6 million a year or $5 million a year. It's become the new $2 million. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's like when free agency hit basketball, football, and baseball, the money we thought was crazy all of a sudden was just instantly dwarfed. You, as an Arkansan, I know Arkansas kind of near and dear to you. Brett Bielema is out. You wrote
the state is. I don't know if the university is.
Okay, my bad. All right, I just was all-encompassing there. I think the hiring of Chad Morris is kind of interesting because he was a high school coach when this decade began. Now he's a head coach in the SEC. You wrote about it. What did you discover about this hiring process and maybe what we should know about the head hog?
Well, Chad Morris is a guy I don't pretend to know well, but I know of him. Look, he's an up-tempo spread guy. He's a very look. If they weren't going to get Gus Malzahn, and they weren't going to get Gus Malzahn, this is a reasonable facsimile. First of all, he's a former Texas high school coach, was big time good at Texas in Texas high schools, and then became an offensive coordinator at Tulsa, and then went to Clemson, where he basically installed the offense that sort of has fueled their rise. And if people want to say, yeah, but it was Deshaun Watson. Okay, that's not incorrect. He was the primary recruiter for Deshaun Watson, and then he was the guy who developed him as a quarterback too. Not saying he needed a ton of development, but so he goes to SMU, where the program is a shambles, and in the course of three seasons makes them respectable. I mean, his overall record is 14-22 or something like that, But they went from terrible. I mean, so terrible with no talent to respectable, and this year they're in a bowl. Then I think when you combine his head coaching pedigree at what he had when he got there at SMU with what he did as an assistant, it looks like a pretty good hire. And Arkansas fans also are starved for that kind of offense, I think, because they got really tired of watching Brett Bielema's style of offense, which, you know, you want to try to play the same kind of style that Nick Saban likes to play. You better have the same kind of athlete. I think they're going to look forward to having an equalizer and try to play wide open ball. Now, that said, they've had a bunch of recruiting years geared for the other style of offense. We'll see how it may take a while.
Yeah, he took a one-win team, won two, then five, then seven, and now he's the Arkansas coach. And finally...
Well, and even within that year that they won two, they were immediately more competitive. And they didn't have a lot of talent, but
right.
They were a whole lot more competitive than they've been even in the losses. And I realize that it's a bottom-line business, but if you were watching SMU, it was apparent they were different even that year.
All right, finally, the field is set. The first three seemed easy. ACC title game you saw was in essence a play-in. You knew if Georgia and Oklahoma won, they were in. And then Bama over either one-loss Wisconsin or Ohio State. So beyond if you have any issue with the four, Bama Clemson part three, then Sooners Bulldogs with the winners playing for the title, that seems like a pretty exciting playoff from my chair.
Well, I think it is. And listen, as the first three, you're right, were easy. You can rank them however you want to, but they were all in. There was not a team that had a case to be fourth. Not Ohio State, not Alabama, not USC. And so whoever they picked, and we can quibble with why they picked Alabama and whether they should have picked Alabama, but it didn't like Ohio State had a strong case.
Right.
It didn't like USC had much of a case. And so it is what it is. It's just a year when there were three clear playoff participants and nobody else. And that's not to say, by the way, that Alabama might not win it. I don't think they're as good as Clemson. I don't think they're as good as Georgia, and I don't think they're as good as Oklahoma. But they'll get healthy, and they've got the best coach in the field, and they may well win the thing. And by the way, they still got the most five stars as far as that goes. But I do think it could be a tremendous playoff. I mean, I think Clemson-Alabama 3 will be really interesting. I think Clemson's better, but Clemson's offense is not nearly as explosive, which means it could be the kind of game where Alabama and Clemson could kind of hang around and whoever makes a couple plays wins it. And then I think Georgia-Oklahoma is really interesting just because it's a clash of styles. Oklahoma's offense has been so good, and then Georgia's defense has been really, really good, and they will try to control the game with the running the ball, and they'll try to keep pressure off of Jake Fromm by doing that and then keeping their defense off the field too. And so I think it'll be tremendous fun to watch that game too.
I agree, and I'm also with you. Anybody who didn't get in only needs a mirror.
This is not that year. You know, there have been some years when you were like, that team should have been in, or that team had a great case to be in, even if so did the team that did get in. This is not that year. This is not the year where you could have said, well, you take your pick, but TCU or Baylor could have been in over Ohio State. Not that year, right?
No, I agree.
By the way, Ohio State made the committee look pretty good. This is not the year where you could say Penn State should have been in over Washington. By the way, because the state wasn't Penn State, Ohio State. They already had Ohio State in last year. This is not the year where you could say, you know, those kinds of things, because while I can quibble all day long with Alabama getting in, and I'm not sure I like the precedent that was set, and especially this particular Alabama team, it's hard for me to argue that Ohio State should have been in, and I definitely will not argue that USC should have been.
No, I'm with you on that one. I think, like I said, this isn't Auburn in 04 where they went unbeaten and got left out of the BCS title game. But always fun, George. Hope you and yours are well, and we look forward to catching up next week, because who knows what will happen between now and then.
Exactly right.
All right. Take care, George.
Thank you.
All right, George Schroeder, USA Today, just about to break up. By the way, if